This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass.
Yes, thanks, Tass. Benjamin Priest is a journalist, a senior journalist with The Age and with Fairfax. Good morning, Benjamin. How are you on this cold Saturday?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. There's a couple of things we'd like to talk to you about. The Fire Services Bill passed the upper house this week. I must admit I was not completely surprised. I thought it would be a more hard-fought battle, considering last time. Tell us how that happened and what it actually means for the fireys and for the government.
Okay, so you're quite right. This has been a long time coming. The government tried to pass this bill in its previous term, and that didn't happen for fairly controversial reasons when two coalition MPs said that they wanted to leave Parliament to go to church. They were granted a pair. This is on Good Friday, and then they reneged on that deal and came back. So the government almost had the legislation through at that point. I think that might have been last year.
Yeah.
And then it kind of fell over at the last minute. So they'd been fighting hard to get this legislation through. What it does is that the bill essentially does two things. It overhauls the fire services so that the CFA becomes a volunteer-only service, and professional firefighters, paid firefighters, I guess you could say, they become part of this new entity called Fire Rescue Victoria. So it does that, but it also gives firefighters presumptive rights to compensation if they get cancer. So it's assumed that if they get cancer, they got it on the job because of the high rate of cancer risk from the things that firefighters are exposed to. So it did those two dual things. And this time it was a much easier passage for the legislation. The makeup of the upper house is completely different. The government had some more numbers in the upper house, and they just needed to get a few crossbenchers over the line, and that's essentially what they did.
So with regards to the presumptive right to bring an action for cancer, did that not apply to volunteers before? Because I would assume for full-time employees that would be a work cover situation. Am I correct? Or
I think what this means is that there are fewer barriers in place, right, and that it's easier for them to access that compensation now. In terms of the access to volunteers, I'm not exactly sure what the status was beforehand, to be honest, but I think this gives them greater access to that compensation as well.
So Peter Marshall, head of the Firefighters Union, does this, I mean, a lot of commentators, I'm sure you've heard them on other radio stations, say that this potentially gives Peter Marshall more power. Does it? And if so, how's he going to use it, do you think?
Well, I think there have been some kind of strange theories that have been kind of getting around about this. I mean, I think that there for a little while in the previous term, at least, there was some sense that the United Firefighters Union wanted to somehow kind of get control of country like volunteer only fire brigades. I don't think that's right. I think that that's the real kind of misconception here. Now, I don't know that. In terms of giving Peter Marshall more power, I think what we've seen here is the ability of the United Firefighters Union so far to kind of flex its muscle and get what it wants. So I think that we've already seen just how powerful a figure that Peter Marshall can be. You've got to remember that there are all of these heads of the CFA that have kind of come and gone,
yes,
throughout this period. Jane Garrett.
And ministers, yeah.
And ministers. And throughout, Peter Marshall has just been resolute. He's hung on, and I don't think that there was ever even any kind of suggestion that this would somehow undermine his authority within the union, and you know, perhaps it's even strengthened it. So, so I think that we've seen how influential a figure Peter Marshall can be throughout all of this.
He's John Setka with a fire hose.
Benjamin, that's the politics.
Yeah.
That's the politics of this legislation. What's your assessment of the legislation itself? Will it actually provide improved outcomes for the community?
Okay, well, I mean, I do think that there is a fair point that's been made that the the nature of Melbourne has changed so much that I think for volunteer firefighting brigades to be operating in some suburban areas, I can see how you know, the case could be made that there the case could be made for change there. I mean, I guess, you know, as with anything, and you know, this is the I'm taking the easy way out here. There's always a kind of, you know, wait and see aspect to it. But I mean, in terms of getting more like kind of easier access to compensation for firefighters who get cancer, I mean, you'd have to think that that's a good thing. I mean, we know around the world that cancer rates for firefighters are high, and it's just it's really not fair for them to have if they have to face kind of these, you know, legal barriers to access compensation that they really deserve for protecting us.
So your overall assessment is that it's actually an improvement.
That's look. I'm gonna sit on the fence a little bit on that one. But for access to compensation, yes, I definitely think it's an improvement. Absolutely, yeah.
That's good. Now the other issue, Philip Daladakis, an upper house member, was previously a minister in the previous Andrews government. He missed out on getting a ministry in this time, and he did something rather strange, I thought. Two things. First, he went to the governor and resigned, and then he came back and resigned, told the premier he'd resign, which I thought was actually the wrong way around.
A bit discourteous, I would have thought.
A bit discourteous, and he's going to work for Australia Post, due to start on July 1, but as I said earlier, he probably won't get there till July 8, because everything at Australia Post is late. So he's obviously going, you know, we don't know how much he's going to be paid, but it will be a substantial package. This, the government's, my understanding, and people I've spoken to, are not very happy about him doing this without sort of telling them. Now, his position will be filled. There doesn't need to be a by-election. But what are the politics around it, Benjamin? What have you heard? Is it just that he took his bat and went home?
Okay, well, this is where we get, like, we see a connection between the bill that passed this week, the fire services, and Phil Daladakis quitting, because it was no sure thing at the beginning of the week. By him quitting, they lost a vote in the they were one vote down. Sorry,
in the upper house.
In the upper house. So, you know, that certainly did ruffle some feathers. I think that part of what we're seeing here is that you know, Phil Daladakis was dropped from the ministry when the government was re-elected. A lot of people would have seen that as a reason for him to take umbrage with that. I mean, quite clearly, he was not happy that had happened, and.
That's clearly the optics, I would have thought, Benjamin. But in fact, if you look at his public commentary, he says that he chose to make those changes because he wanted to spend more time with his family.
Yeah, so he's going to become a senior executive at Australia Post, which, you know, he'll be working, you know, a lot of hours, perhaps not as much as a minister, but it just doesn't ring true to me that... And I never like it when politicians who've been elected... Right, then decide they're going to do something else. That's their right. But, you know, I assume he was organising all this while he was a Member of Parliament, and I apply a different standard to a Member of Parliament. you know, to, you know, you Benjamin, deciding, you know, you might go and work for another news organisation. And, you know, having those... Yeah. I look at it a bit differently. You're not an elected public official that we pay to do that job.
Well, I think that... I mean, obviously, this wouldn't have come completely out of the blue. Anyone knows that, you know, to get a senior position anywhere, any organisation, these things take a long time. Yeah. So, he stunned his colleagues. I know that, he was... leading the public accounts and estimates committee process, where they kind of scrutinise the budget and call up ministers, and hold kind of public hearings. That was going right up until the end of last Friday, not yesterday, but the Friday before. And there was no indication there that from what I was aware that he was going to go. So, look, I mean, clearly a lot of this is about him being dumped from the ministry and not being happy about that. I do think it's different, perhaps leaving an upper house seat than a lower house, because there doesn't have to be a by-election. So there's no public cost to that. It just gets filled. But what we're going to see now is we're going to see a big kind of, you know, Labour factional Barney who gets to slot in there. So there's going to be a bit of blood sport now, I'm sure.
Yeah. Look, we've run out of time, Benjamin. Thank you for your time, and thank you for what you do as a journalist, an independent journalist. It's very, very important. So we thank you for that, and we look forward to having you on again soon.
Great. Thanks very much.
And enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Cheers.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.